Hello, friends, and welcome back to everybody's favorite therapy-themed podcast. This is This Changes Everything. I'm Sarah Rice, and with me, as per usual, is my bestie, Therapy Jeff. How are you doing, Therapy Jeff?
I'm good, Sarah. How are you?
I'm super good. You know, I didn't mean for us to have a almost scripted intro like that. But I am like, I don't know, a person of habit, creature of habit, and I don't realize that I'm saying the same thing over and over. And now I'm like, okay, well, this is now our official intro. And
I love it. Yeah.
I imagine that there are people who like say it along with me.
I'm sure most people are.
And then
we'll
like get thrown off if I mixed it up. Like,
exactly.
So for all you people out there, you are welcome.
Yeah. Are you still running?
No. Oh, my God. This is hilarious.
No.
Eli and I both have a lot of regrets. Not only did we shell out $60 to do this thing, but both of us, I don't know what our problem was, if we went too hard, too fast.
Sarah.
But he is scheduled to have an MRI on his knee next week because he has some sort of tear or something. Like, he couldn't even walk down the stairs after his five-mile run. And I did something to my foot. Like, I either have a stress fracture or like a bruise on the bone or something where I still can't wear hard sole shoes. Like, I have a pair of clogs, I can't even put them on. And it's been 2 weeks. So we are like a week and a half. So yeah, we have, since given our tickets to two other, suckers who are going to run with our bibs in our place. I'm hoping this person's like super fast so that I could just like brag about how well I did, but I don't know. Not doing
Sarah,
it.
We were bragging that we were professional athletes last
week. I know.
Week.
What's wrong with
You're
me?
Falling
Here's
apart.
What I learned. I think I need to do something that's like a little more your speed, like Orange Theory style. Like, you know, I'll throw down with some weights. I love working out. I will hike for miles, but this gal's got like one gear, first gear, one speed. That's it. We're like, I should not be kicking it up.
No. And running is really hard on your body outside on the pavement or in the dirt. Like, you could easily get hurt, and you did. And I hope you've learned your lesson. You and Eli. Yeah. You should
I
never
totally
run
get
again.
It. And all my friends who are like, you know, in that sports or nutrition, like athletic world are like, don't do that. What are you thinking? Do you think you're just going to like get out there and do that? Like, you're not 18. So
I'm sorry, Sarah.
No.
Yeah.
We even had like a plan for like a big outdoorsy vacation this summer. And now we have to like dial it back because he might have like knee surgery or some shit.
Ow.
Can you believe this?
So what did you do instead last week? Anything fun?
Oh, this. Okay. So much to report.
Yeah.
Last weekend was our anniversary.
Oh,
our 1 year anniversary.
Wow, 1 year. That's a long time.
Oh, and like over the age of 35 years, that's like 7 years.
Oh yeah. That's 7 years.
Right.
1 year is the new seven or seven years is the
totally.
New 1 year. Yeah. Yeah.
So, to celebrate, it was actually perfect timing. So for my birthday, Eli got me a very exciting gift and something we have been trying to schedule and use for my birthday was in February. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
So I've always been very interested in trying, like rope play and like entry level, like, you know, kink, explore some ropes in the bedroom and never had an interested partner or somebody I felt comfortable sharing this with. So I was like, we've talked about this in past podcasts. We took like that, how kinky are you set like sex quiz and everything when we like first started dating. And, so he got us like a couples class at the old like rope play studio, and we took a 7 hour beginner like 101 introduction to that whole world class on our actual anniversary. I thought the timing of that was so perfect.
Were there a lot of people there?
There were probably 12 couples. Super diverse, different ages, different sexual orientations, genders, like everything represented, different sizes, different. It's like it was one of the most inclusive and comfortable communities I've ever been a part of, even for a minute. It was so fun.
Do you like being tied up or doing the tying?
I like being tied up. And I'll tell you, this was something that took me a while to understand and even, I don't know, be comfortable exploring. Mm-hmm. I've always liked that feeling of being kind of like restricted. Like it makes me feel very
restrained.
Yeah. Like comfortable and relaxed. It's like being swaddled in a weird way. And it's kind of like a weighted blanket, or, you know, this is what really made me think, oh, maybe I would like this. My co-host of the other podcast I host for Christmas one year got me this compression sleep sack that was on Shark Tank. That's like basically sleeping in a human condom. And it is my favorite thing. Nothing calms me down, makes me relax or fall asleep faster. And when I am in that thing, I do not move. So it like makes me feel very present and connected to my body. It's very calming.
So it doesn't feel like claustrophobic or a little scary that you like can't get out, or it'd be hard to struggle like to get out?
No. In fact, the only time in the class where I had a moment of that was when Eli had me all tied up and then went to go check the like model, the woman who was like demoing it up at the front. And he was like, stay here for a minute. And he just left me there. And I was like, oh no. And I panicked for a minute because I was like, if I fall over, I'm going down. Like I better not like sneeze or something like in this situation. Like, so that was the only moment where I had that. And it kind of showed me then that his presence and me trusting him and us talking about everything was the thing that made me feel so comfortable in doing that. It is such an exercise in trust and communication. And I'd say a good hour of the class was spent discussing consent and how to, you know, have like explicit consent or implicit consent, like these different kinds of ways that you can discuss this. It was so like, I left feeling like I am so sexually healthy and
progressive and
like
involved.
So progressive and look at us like communication is A+ over here.
Is there something about like, do you feel like it's hot to like try to maybe like struggle to get out a little bit, but not be able to like, is that a turn on for you?
It's so weird because I think it's really different for everyone. You can see that was the really interesting thing about seeing the different couples even go through the day and how they participated in the class and what people would jump to like get excited about like or do or some people would switch and like Eli had absolutely no interest in being tied up. The instructor had absolutely no interest in being tied up. He's like, I tried it. I hate it. You know, and other people switched, like a lot of couples switched and would both try it. What was the first thing that you asked?
If it's a turn on that you are trying to get out, but you can't. Yeah. Like,
so
does
I think
that
it's different
for
everybody. Like for me, it's not even, it's so strange because like the actual act isn't what's super sexy to me. It's the feeling of relaxation that I get from that allows me to be present enough to enjoy sex and feel connected to my partner. Rather than like disassociating in my mind and like going somewhere else and checking out, which is kind of like what I've had a past of doing, history of doing. So, but I could see how different people in the class use it differently. How some people who, you know, maybe like a little more of the like feeling that you get from the drugs that are released and chemicals that are released in your brain from putting yourself in those experiences or experiencing pain like that. You can see people who are kind of chasing that and it's different for everybody. And that even taught me a whole lot.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I feel there's so many places you can go. I feel like the place that I go is like, yes, I like to tie up my partner, and the role play connected to it is just like, you've been so bad and now you have to be tied up. And now see, I get to do it, you know, fun. Like whatever I want to do to you. Yeah. And you're restrained and you're trying to get out of those ropes, but they're just a little too tight for you, you know?
And this teaches you how to do that, but safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like taking That's care important. Of each other, talking to each other. There's so much about aftercare, you know, so much about like how this is stuff that's, it's so important to negotiate the, you know, scene that you're doing, whatever, whether any kind of sexual interaction beforehand. So there isn't that like mid scene negotiation where you're dealing with like a bunch of chemicals that maybe make you agree to things that you wouldn't normally agree to.
And is there special sex rope that you use that like doesn't hurt your skin? There's or
a whole bunch of different kinds, unless you are into that, in which case rope for that as well.
Yeah.
So different kinds have like, they talk about like what kind to use if you're going to do anything where you're like suspended off the ground and being able to hold body weight and how to safely do that, how to avoid certain arteries and certain, like nerves. And it was
interesting,
freaking fun. And it was just a very intimate thing to do.
Yeah.
That like you feel, I felt so connected, like all the couples, it was like everybody was all touchy feely and like cuddly and like, and they made you like talk to your partner and like tell them what you were going to do and like talk about consent. So you're like practicing that. They talked about how to like vet partners and who's an appropriate pit, like match if you're going to do something like this with somebody who's not your partner. And
Did it feel strange doing this in front of with other couples? Or
at first, but then when the female friends took one of her, the gals took her top off, I was like, oh, we're good. Yeah. Everybody's fine. Like it was approached in a way that was so normalized that it didn't seem at all like shameful or secretive and like, and it wasn't like in a dungeon, which was really nice. Right. It was like, looked like a yoga studio. I'm like, this is great.
I love that. Yeah.
Even if you're not into, you know, you don't think that's like, oh, I'm super into that. Like, I think it would be such a great, like, thing to add some novelty and like play and excitement into a relationship.
And, oh my God. Yeah. You know? And you get to explore this like other side of you or a new side of you comes out in this situation. Even if you like go back and you never use ropes again, you like can play with that energy and explore different parts of you. So
yes,
I love it. Yeah. Y'all should look up your local like rope play classes.
They're everywhere. There were like multiple places, like options in. I don't know if it's because we got a big rock climbing community out here, maybe there's a lot of overlap or something like that.
There probably is.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Jeff. How do I relax after a stressful day? Or no, forget that. How do I relax during a stressful day? How do I get a good night's sleep?
You should take Next Evo Naturals. They are CBD gummies. I love them. And you know what I do whenever I'm like researching things, especially if I'm putting something in my body, is that I do like deep dives into Google. I now ask all the AI bots what I should do. I scour the web. Yes. I make sure that I cover like every base so I can figure out what is the best thing to put in my body. And we've done all the research for you.
Yes.
If you're interested in natural CBDs, then Next Evo is where you should go.
I love that. That is a really good point. So like, I mean, it has been so helpful for me. I have now re-upped my subscription, I guess you can call it, three times, like renewed what I got because I like definitely notice it when I'm not taking it on those, like I always say, the car rides. It's like car ride season. And, you know, this is like what helps me chill out, feel de-stressed and de-hyphenated stressed. And, Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the thing that I struggle with most, which gets in the way of everything, is sleep. And if I ever want to, like, for me personally, if I ever want to guarantee a good night's sleep for myself, yeah, then I take the Nextivo CBD gummies.
Yeah, I take the ones that are in the orange container. Yours are what, purple container?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
And they're gummies. I'm never going to forget to take a delicious sweet treat and one that makes me feel like relaxed. Yes. Hello.
It's so good. I wake up so refreshed. It's amazing. So we want you to upgrade your CBD, and you should go to nextevo.com/changes to get 20% off your first order of $40 or more. That is 20% off $40 or more at nextevo.com/changes.
Yes. There are big differences between like CBD brands and like, oh my God, we've done the research for you. Support our show and like get the good stuff. There you go.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. Well, let's stay on topic and keep on talking about sexy subjects. We asked all of you to send in your sex questions so we can have a sexy episode. I think I've also gotten feedback that people like the sort of questions, the question answer format, and they also want a topic where we sort of like stay on topic. And so we're going to try to do our best with that. And today,
give you both.
Yes, we are going to talk about sex. Yeah. So, Sarah, where should we start?
Oh, let's start right at the top. Question number one, how can I work on increasing my sex drive?
Yeah, what do you got for us?
Right out of the gate, I think the thing to remember is that sex drive is related to your physical and mental health. So it is so important that we get regular physicals and talk to your doctor about this. These are the kind of things that could be an indicator of maybe another health condition. It's often a symptom instead of the actual problem.
The cause, Do we get that right? The symptom instead of the... I'm blanking on that. We're bad.
Yeah, the cause and not the symptom. It's like the line from we got it. From Sweet Transvestite from Transylvania. Come on, what's the movie? Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yes,
we got it. Okay, good. Yeah, definitely. Like, you should if you notice a sharp decrease in sex drive, it's probably being caused by something. It could be health or medical related. It could be stress or emotionally related. It could be
meds you're taking.
Yeah, it could be meds you're taking. So like just kind of really check in with yourself, with your environment, with your body, with your brain, with your emotions. And you know, sex drive goes up and down, right? Yeah. So it changes. If you kind of like pull back, you can see that there's like changes throughout the years and in like the different, you know, parts of or stages of your life or the ages and the generations that you're going through. But it also changes weekly, right?
Mm-hmm. So weekly, there's even daily.
Daily, yes.
I mean, different hormone spikes at different times of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think also when talking about like increasing your sex drive, checking with yourself and saying, is it that I'm not looking to engage with a partner right now? And like, or am I not even interested in sex at all? You know, that can even give some information to whether it's like a low libido or maybe things that need to be discussed in the relationship.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And maybe also, maybe you're asking this question because you feel like you typically have a low sex drive. That's fine too. So maybe you just have like a low sex drive and you have a low libido. There doesn't have to be anything wrong with that. Although I think that you might be shamed possibly or made to feel bad about it, maybe depending on like the partner that you're with. I think there's a lot of messages out there in society too, that's just like, if you're not wanting to have sex all the time, that there might be something wrong with you. Or if you're not engaging in sexy stuff with your partner, then that's a red flag, right?
Yeah. You know, and like, it's so important to remember that really at the most basic level, we're all like still animals, like running around on the plains of Africa and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine like a gazelle being chased by a lion, and no gazelle is in the middle of like feeling like they're in danger and unsafe is going to be like, ooh, look at that sexy other gazelle over there. I think I want to do it. They're like, no, I got to keep myself safe. I got to keep running. So, so much of our desire to have sex comes from that feeling of safety and security. So check in with yourself. You know, a lot of us have kind of been living, I feel like this like pandemic / post-pandemic world, there's like this fight or flight, like, oh, is like activated and just a lot of people have been dealing with so much anticipatory grief and grief for a while and changes that could make you feel like there's a lot of like that feeling of being like unsafe. And so I think reminding yourself and doing those things, I don't know, maybe you're a weirdo like me who needs a sleep sack to like make them feel like they're in a little, like, I don't know, like burrow and like a animal like that and relax, or, you know, whatever you need to do to feel safe. And that can also help you feel, I don't know, more comfortable.
Yeah. Or, you know, like Sarah did earlier this week, like go to like a fun little sexy class where you're sort of like pushed outside of your boundaries, but in a comfortable, safe kind of way. So you might want to explore your kinks and try to figure out what, like how you can be more adventurous and how you can add novelty. You know, it's cliche, like you should add novelty to your sex life in order to continue to feel turned on, but it's cliche for a reason. Like this is what we need to be doing in order to keep that like spicy or chemistry, you know, alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's one of those, if you don't use it, you lose it things? I mean, obviously not really. Like, I like that's a joke. Like, in the, what is it, 40-year-old virgin? He's like, right. Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it? Like, but I mean, like, that.
I think it is. Like, the more sex kind of, I have with my partner, the more I want to have sex with them, right? Totally. Like, it's just, like, it keeps on, or the more I masturbate, the more I want to masturbate. Like, it just happens. And it's something that we need to prioritize if you want to prioritize it, if it's important to you, you know?
Yes. But you get to decide what's important for you. That's okay.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Exactly. Okay, next question. Well, this one fits right in line with my opening monologue I gave. Exactly. Is enjoying rough sex a trauma response?
What do you say, Sarah?
Well, when I was, you know, I almost say like younger, but even like in my early 30s, like we're talking like not even that long ago, I thought so. I was kind of made to believe that by partners. Mm-hmm. I felt really ashamed talking about it. And now, especially after last weekend, I know that that is not necessarily the case. It is, in fact, the opposite. It could really help you explore desires. It can help connect with like different parts of you. I think it can also really work to help you rewrite the narrative if there was trauma. It's like getting to do it in a way that feels safe for you. And I'm not going to lie, I got teary-eyed in the class because they were talking so much. Oh, I'll talk about it now. They were talking, or I'll get teary-eyed now. They were talking so much about consent, and it felt like this was the first time I felt in control of the decisions that were happening in like a way that I had never experienced. So stupid. But it lets you like that cliche thing of like taking back your power.
Yeah. And you're doing it with Eli, who you feel like incredibly connected and in love with and safe with, right? So it's a huge corrective experience.
Guys, if you're going to cry on a podcast, cry on a podcast when your co-host is a therapist. It is great. And it will make you feel so validated. And okay.
I love that.
But it's like a cathartic release. That's exactly how tears go. Maybe you guys are like me and you cry when you get like just a well of emotion. And it's like how my stress is released through tears. So.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Eli. I also, this is going to be like TMI, but here you go. I'm telling you everything on this podcast. I cry like after almost every orgasm.
Oh,
I can't help it. It's like an emotional release. And then I just get teary-eyed and like, not like I'm sobbing, but like two or three tears come out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is wrong with me? But there you go. It's that release. I also cry when I go to the chiropractor. I cry when I get a massage. It's an actual thing. Somatic emotional release or emotional response. And it happens.
And Sarah is here to normalize it.
There you go, people.
Because it is, it's like upsetting when you don't know why you're crying or that you cry that often or like in these like specific scenarios. But it sounds like one of the reasons you cry is like you feel safe and it feels good. And it is like, a relearning or a corrective experience or something so that you feel like you're not in danger, you know?
I'm gonna be like, you really took us on an emotional roller coaster with that question.
So, yeah.
All over. We're talking about rough sex, and the next thing you know, you're crying and talking about, you know. But it is. It's like, it's such a, because if you've experienced trauma, especially sexual trauma, it feels like a part of you has been stolen and a part of you somebody else has, controls. And a healthy and consensual and negotiated and planned sexual experience that is rough or whatever version of that you want can be so powerful and like such a corrective experience in a way to tell you that, look how like I'm in control, I'm safe, that bad thing isn't happening right now. And it's really powerful.
It is really powerful. So it can be connected to things that you've gone through in the past, through trauma that you've experienced in the past. And it also cannot be at all. It could just be like you love rough sex. And it might be like so simple as to like you can't be rough in your like everyday life. And this is like a place where you can be rough. And so you want to explore that side of you, or you want someone to be rough to you because like you're the one, you want to be like powerless in these situations and you feel really powerful in your life. So it's kind of like the opposite feeling. It's also just like BDSM sort of stuff can be really sexy and really hot and really sort of like naughty, you know, like, and that's like, that's a huge turn on to folks. So it's not necessarily, like Sarah saying, it's not necessarily a trauma response. It can be connected to trauma or things that you've gone through in your past. There's a sort of like a very wide spectrum. I don't think that you should like automatically pathologize yourself or get really worried that there's some deep-seated trauma that you're not getting in contact with and that's why you're such a freak in bed or whatever. Like, that's not necessarily the case.
And I found some research that showed that this is what the research shows, that people who practice BDSM are less neurotic, more extroverted, more open to new experiences, more conscientious, less rejection sensitive, and have a higher subjective well-being than non-kinky people. And BDSM identified couples reported less stress as well as increased intimacy following play. So
look at that.
That isn't a reason. There you go. We're normalizing it. We're making it so, like, you don't have to feel bad about it. No shame over here, peeps.
Yeah. Personally, I do not like rough sex. Like, I don't want someone to rough me up sex. Like, I'll go ahead and make it a little rough for you. That's fine. And that's, like, that's cute and a turn on. But I have, like, the most sensitive body.
You're a big cuddler, I would imagine.
I'm a big cuddler. Yeah. I'm sensual. I take it slow. I'm sort of like, I'm in the moment, but I also like to like toss you around a little bit. But anything that's like even the least bit painful, all of a sudden I get worried for you and I like react personally like way too much. So,
you know, you could like turn anything into a kink. I can't believe how many people talked about cuddling in a way that was like, oh yeah, we're like cuddle. Like, I'm like, oh, that's like a thing. So
do you remember?
I think there was a seat at the table for you, Jeff.
I'm sure there is. Do you remember when like cuddling was very like, not just like cuddling your friends or something, but there was like professional cuddlers out there. Was that ever? Yeah. There's in Portland, there is like, this was back in maybe 2008 or something.
I think in Japan, that's a thing.
In Japan, it's a thing. Yeah, in Portland and Japan are sort of like they steal things from each other. And so we have these professional cuddlers in Portland. It was a thing for like 6 to 9 months. And 6 to 9 months. It quickly went
away.
It's
not even a full lease.
No, exactly. They were eventually like failed at the business. But it was a very bizarre, wonderful thing.
Is it like not enough people turned out? Like
not enough customers came, and the people that came were just like, a little like, I don't know about this. You know, like, what are you actually looking for here? So, yeah.
It felt like a foreplay for something else.
Yeah, it was like they were looking for like sex work when it was really cuddle work. But I think that there's, you know, maybe a line there that people definitely want to try crossing. Exactly.
Yeah. Who doesn't want companionship and a little cuddling?
Right? We love cuddles here. Yeah.
Before we answer any more of your questions, let's take a break and talk about one of our favorite sponsors. That's Native Deodorant and Sunscreen. You know, see, what I always do is I get so excited about talking about like whatever sponsor we have that I'll talk about all my favorite things. And then I realize, oh, I haven't even told you what the heck I'm talking about. So this is like my preface, my like, guys,
good job,
I'm gearing
Sarah.
You up to tell you all the wonderful things that we love about Native deodorant and sunscreen.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that I really like is that it's really easy for me to feel guilty when I buy the wrong product. That's just like bad for the environment, that we all know is like problematic. And that's why I like to use Native sunscreen and deodorants, because it doesn't like fuck up the ocean. If you put the sunscreen on and you jump in the ocean, it doesn't like mess everything up. It's you're saving the environment basically. So should you feel guilty if you buy sunscreen that isn't Native? Yes, 100%. We are therapists and here to tell you that you should feel not only guilty, but ashamed of what you're doing. If you're not
buying
Native.
Do you care about the environment? Like in some states like Hawaii, you're not even allowed to buy the other stuff. So here you go. This is great. And not only that, it comes in all those delicious scents that I know you love. I'm a big fan of the coconut and pineapple. They got rosé, they got sweet peach and nectar, and it's going to have you like protecting yourself from the sun, supporting our podcast. Hello, we love that. Smelling delicious and keeping the environment friendly and happy. So
yeah, if you want to smell like me, then you should get the sweet peach flavor, because I love smelling like a peach. Sarah and I think that you should give your skin the protection it deserves with Native's mineral sunscreens. Go to nativedeo.com/TCE or use our promo code TCE at checkout to get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/TCE or use promo code TCE at checkout. nativedeo.com/TCE or use promo code TCE. You are welcome.
Look, I even have my sunscreen right with me. I have my like makeup bag.
It's right
next
there.
To me.
We really use it.
I know. Like almost empty too. Like this is my, and I have such sensitive skin. I got to get something that's like going to be good for my skin you know, not make me break out. So there you go.
Get to it. Okay. Next question is it okay to leave someone with erectile dysfunction? The sex is very important to me. So it sounds like they struggle with ED. They can't get it up and it's becoming a very frustrating situation. What do you think, Sarah? What should they do?
Well, you know, I think it's, there has to be more that's keeping the relationship together, like that you like about this person, than just having sex with them. Because like, you know, when I have strong feelings for somebody, Eli could like, I don't know, get in an accident and wouldn't be able to use anything anymore, and I still would be in a relationship with him, because like I love that person and I love who he is. So are you choosing the person, or are you choosing like the equipment that the person comes with? And often like erectile dysfunction isn't something that's like necessarily it can change, like the situation, maybe it could, but
there's lots of reasons why it might be happening.
Yeah. Is this like something you're even talking to your partner about? Do they?
Right. Yeah. Are you talking to them about it? Have they gone to a doctor?
Yeah.
Is there something going on, like, with their body or medically? Or is it being caused by anxiety, right? Because, like, anxiety is typically the cause of erectile dysfunction. And if that's the case, there are, like, a ton of things that you all can do, right?
And if there's that pressure, that feeling of, oh, no, if I don't get it up, my partner's going to leave me, I can't imagine something causing more anxiety or, like, add more pressure to the situation.
No, let me tell you, from a person who has a penis, I fucking hate having a penis sometimes because there's so much goddamn pressure put on the penis to be like, it better be fucking hard or else sex isn't going to happen, which obviously isn't the case. There's so many sexy things you can do without a hard penis. Like there's so much pressure, especially like, whatever, I grew up in the 80s and 90s and we weren't as progressive back then. So there was like what I learned sex was, which I still think most people probably learn, is just like sex is penis in vagina. The penis has to get hard and you put it in the vagina and that's what sex is. It's only intercourse.
Done as soon as he finishes.
Right? Yeah. When he's done, it's done. So if you are, and then also like watching porn, like if you're a penis having person and you're watching porn, like all those dicks are super hard the whole fucking time. And so you're like, especially if you're like a young boy watching, I can't imagine what it would be like. You're just like, I guess it's always got to be like that. And if you're not always getting, so there's so much pressure, so much anxiety, like put on the person that has the penis. And so there's got to be like, it's hard. And so like when you're like wanting to have sex with somebody and you want them to get hard and then they're not getting hard, it is also like legitimately frustrating for you. Like you want to play with that hard dick. I get it. And it's not getting there for you. So to validate,
you're so like, nice to try to see the other side, but you don't need to do that right now. You can just be mad at that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that like that's what gets in the way of a lot of people that have penises. We're like, we are constantly looking at the other side of like, they must think I'm not a man. They must think I'm not masculine. They must think something's wrong with me. They're going to probably leave me.
It's so funny because the other side of it, what I usually hear is there's something wrong with me. He must not like me. They're not turned on enough.
Right,
like,
right.
It's always personalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all personalizing it.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
God, there is this like, so this is like something that I've struggled on and off with, and it's always related to anxiety. And so a lot of times I'm going to like tell my partner like, oh no, this sucks for me. But there are like things that we can do in order to make it so that like I feel more at ease. And so there's like, usually it's some sort of thing that's like related to like edging or something. Yeah. So like a fun little game that you can play with somebody that's like not able to get it up very well is be like, okay, so we're going to play this game where, I'm going to go down on you. I'm going to give you a blowjob. And the second you get hard, I'm going to act all mad. And I'm going to storm off and be like, look at you getting hard. That's not okay. You're not allowed to do that. Yeah. Yeah. And then you go away and I'm only going to go down on you again once you're totally limp. And then once you are, I'm going to go down on you. And once you're hard again, I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, that's not what you're supposed to do. And it creates, you do that like 5, 6, 10 times, whatever. It's this game where it sort of like allows you to like lose your erection. And it feels like silly. It feels cute. It's really fun. And then eventually what happens is just like, no, like, get over here. Like, I don't want you to leave. Like, let's fuck now or whatever. Like, you just sort of like stay in that place. But if you lose it again, it's okay. And you just sort of like play the game over and over. So there's this. So try to figure out like what your version is of that to see if you can create an environment where it's okay. There's also like, there's been like some women who have told me, they're just like, oh, I really want to see you not hard. Like it's sexy for me when you're not, because I want to like see it get harder. So like you don't have to be like rock hard the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, so like as long as we're like normalizing it and doing all the other things that you can do without a hard dick, then we're good to go.
Yeah. So work with it. There's a lot of room there before, like, should I leave them? Is it okay? So first of all, it's okay to leave somebody whenever. It's your life. Leave somebody, stay with somebody. if that's like the most important thing in the whole world to you, I mean, maybe like assess your priorities, but go ahead.
Sure.
But maybe there are some steps before you do that, mm-hmm. because there could be somebody really wonderful attached to that penis that sometimes has difficulty getting hard.
Yeah. And I mean, again, and Sarah, that's a good point. Like if you don't want to go on that journey, or if you want to just like find somebody who's like rock hard all the time, fine. They're not going to be like that for their whole lives. But
right,
like,
for sure.
Okay. You do you, you know, like yeah. no judgment then. That's fine. But make sure that like you don't like shame the person while you're leaving them and making them feel horrible. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame, good luck. Shame. Okay. I love this question. What are your thoughts on sex tapes?
I feel like I saw this question. I think like this question or some other questions about sex tapes.
This is
tape
like
was
more
like,
our opinion.
Yeah, this is just
obviously,
our opinion.
This is all our opinion.
I think there was another question about this where they're like sex tapes. Is everyone really doing this now? Like, is this like a thing?
Yeah.
It does, and I don't know maybe if it's like because we're getting older or I was just a kid or something. It's just so easy to make a sex tape yeah. with our phones. And so it feels like there are so many more like personalized sex tapes that we're all making compared to when we didn't have phones. Do you get that feeling?
I absolutely do. And I have had to fight defend my strict no sex tape policy.
Mm.
For a long time, and it gets a lot of pushback, but take the position of like nothing is secure and anything could end up wherevs. And
so that's your reason. That's your main reason. Well, it's
really.
Not secure. Okay. There's more reasons.
Main reason is, and okay, maybe that's like, I don't want other people to see. I don't think I'm going to look as hot as
sure.
that whoever thinks I'm going to look.
Right.
When I'm making that, like, I don't want to see that because, like, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. And then that's, like, all I'm going to imagine. I'm good. And then also I use it's not even an excuse, the defense that after 11 years or 10 years on reality television, having so much of my experience taped without, like, I mean, with my consent, but then used however yeah. they want. And they right. even have, like, me hooking mm-hmm. up with people, like somewhere sure. is
sure.
a tape of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this is like a place where I put my foot down and I'm like, no, I'm going to not make any, and nobody gets to see that. And you better just have a good memory. And if you want to see it again,
you're right there.
Like, let's go.
Uh-huh.
Tie me up.
Exactly. I think, Sarah, I like how you're just sort of like giving permission to people to be like, no, you can just say no and it could be
no,
for good reason.
It's a full sentence.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Do not feel pressured to make a sex tape. I love a sex tape. I hope that all of my sex tapes get leaked out to the public. You should all see
that.
Me. And that's just like a kink of mine. It's like, I'm
yes.
like a voyeur and I like to yes. be watched and be watched. And, you know, like, so I'm not, this is not an invitation to like dox or hack my phone.
No,
to like try
do
to
not
find,
do that. Right.
Do not do that. You're not going to, it's not going to be that easy to find my sex tapes. I'm going to make it a little hard on all
this.
Of you. But it is, I think it's like a really sexy thing to do, to have, to create with your partner. I think Sarah's correct in that, like, it's not always the sexiest like angle that you want it to be. So you're not going to maybe like look as good as you're hoping, but it feels like a fun little adventurous thing to do. I would recommend, however, that like you keep that within your relationship. And if the relationship ends,
yes.
you delete it. You
yeah.
allow your partner to go on your
yeah.
phone to check and see, or to delete it themselves. Like, it's not something that you should be keeping
yeah.
past
agreed.
The relationship. Right.
Yeah, it's got to mm-hmm. be a whole convo.
Mm-hmm.
I do, however, fully support document, like, taking pics.
Oh, yeah? Sexy
and
pics?
And I feel like any picture that I've ever taken or had up, I'm like, yeah, go ahead, leak that shit. That looks awesome. Right? Yeah. My ass looks great in that. Make it go viral. Let's go. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little easier to control the angle of, like, a picture than it is a full-blown video, right?
Yeah. And that feels like, I don't know, something that's more private in a way.
It does feel more intimate.
If I'm in Europe, I would be like topless at the beach and like nobody would care. So like, okay, you see a nipple.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jeff, time to take a break to talk about a sponsor that I don't think could possibly be a better fit for me. Mm. And that is First Leaf. It is a subscription wine company where they like do this little quiz for you, which was so fun. I'll put up a little video of me like my little quiz that and my results that I did, and you guys can do yours and then tell me what you got and all that kind of stuff. And they customize like this selection of wine just for you, hand selected wines. And you know, like if you're a wine drinker, sometimes like you get a little bored with the regular stuff that's at the grocery store that you see all the time, or you do what maybe I do, and you get so overwhelmed with the amount and the selection. Like I live in a state where you have to go to a store. It's like a whole production. You have to go to a store, like a specialty store. Then like, I got to know what I want to know where to go. I never do. I can't tell what's good and what's not good. I feel like it's all just like advertising. I don't know. I can't sort it out and I barely even know what I like. So that's why I absolutely loved using First Leaf. It was super easy, delivered right to your door. Like all you do is answer some specific questions about your likes, your dislikes, you know, all that on their website. It takes like 5 minutes. And not only that, you're getting them at a freaking amazing price. It is so good and like saves me all the time and the hassle of having to go to the grocery store and do all this. So I keep my wine shelf stocked now, thanks to First Leaf. And every selection is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if they like pick a wine for you and you're like, nah, I hate it, they'll swap it out for another one. So like, you know, I've always heard that the best thing about a wine bottle of wine, or the thing that makes a good bottle of wine great, is like the friends that you share it with. So I love like getting to reconnect with friends and family over bottles of First Leaf wine. And I bet you will feel that way too. So give First Leaf a try. Head on over and try firstleaf.com/TCE. Sign up and save 50% on your first 6 hand curated bottles plus free shipping. That's TRYFIRSTLEAF.com/TCE and save 50% on your first 6 bottles plus free shipping. So try firstleaf.com/TCE. You're welcome.
Okay. Next question is, how do you ask for better aftercare? I will say that I would like to, I think that I am a good sex partner, except for when it comes to aftercare.
Oh,
I am fucking horrible. And this is something I'm working on. This is like feedback that I have recently gotten from the last few partners that I've been with, where like, I am such, Dan Savage talks about this. So I'm going to defend myself a little bit while also taking responsibility.
Yeah, it's good accountability. I see this.
I'm such a good role model for everybody. Yeah. Dan Savage talks about this, so this isn't like my research. And I also don't know the exact name of the chemical that happens, but when like a man has an orgasm, something goes off in their brain immediately where they're just like, cool, I'm going to sleep now and I don't even care about anything. There's just like all of a sudden, like all of the focus that they had on sex is no longer there, and they're just like, what's for dinner? You know, like there's just like chemically something shifts in our brains so that we're not even conscious of like, now let's like connect intimately and talk about the sex or hold each other or cuddle or continue to like take care of each other, do more sex or something. Like when an orgasm happens, when a man has an orgasm, there's something in their body that just makes it so that they're just like incredibly bad at aftercare. And that is what happens to me. So I have to be very thoughtful and plan even before I have sex to do aftercare stuff. So if you struggle at it, and if you're a dude, then that might be the reason why.
And you know, I want to give you some motivation and confidence here, maybe, or don't know, something like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much. Sometimes exactly. A warm towel can right. be helpful. And just like a recognition that there's another human that's like in the room. And you know, now that you say that, I wonder if, like, if you were to look at the oxytocin levels, like men versus women, because I would imagine that like cuddle drug is what women, people with the vagina, are getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that moment. And that makes you want to cuddle.
It makes you want to cuddle. It's probably has to do with like evolutionary psychology. Yeah. Where it's just sort of like the man is there to spread their seed and the woman is there to like, you know, nest and feel safe with the man. I don't know. Evolutionary psychology also feels sexist and racist, but there's like, maybe there's something to it. Yeah. All that being said, that does not, that should not like give you an excuse to not do the aftercare. The aftercare, after you orgasm, and hopefully both have some orgasms.
Or at least something that checks the box for a positive sexual experience. Because I don't want to make orgasm the goal.
The goal. Exactly. Good point, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Yes. After you're both feeling satisfied in bed.
I love that.
And you start the aftercare. That's like the time where you start to kind of like get ready for the next sex, whether it's like later that day or a week from now. Like that's when the flirtation starts, right? It's not just sort of like settling in and not thinking about how to connect intimately or flirty or sexually. Like it just goes on forever. And aftercare is a big part.
Yeah. And you know, aftercare is something that can also, in the same way that you want to discuss what's going to go on while you're having sex, like what kind of sex feels good, what people like, aftercare is part of that. Like it's part of the like falls under the umbrella of the sexual experience. Just like everybody's idea of foreplay and what people like to get their motor running is going to be different. Everything that people like, or the things that people like to, wind down from that experience is going to be different. Mm-hmm. And it can be a really sexy time as well, where you get to talk about the things you liked about what just happened. My favorite thing that now is like something I think about all the time is when you said talk about what you were thinking about while you were having sex, like anything that you imagined. Oh, I do that every time we have sex now. And it is so fun to talk about afterwards, because I think it also, like, Eli's that go to bed guy. And I told him, I'm like, I'm going to need like a little TLC afterwards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is like my own, do as I say, not as I do, or like learn from my mistakes kind of thing. Because I told him what I didn't like instead of giving him some instruction and direction on what would feel good. Like saying just, you know, I don't like when you just get up and leave or whatever is kind of like being like, I don't like Chinese food.
Right. Yeah.
That's when you're going to decide what restaurant to go out to. Well, okay. Exactly. There's a lot of other kinds, and you gave me no information to help me out in the like next time. So instead of saying what I should have said, Eli, if you're listening, this is me apologizing.
Correcting that. Yeah.
Correcting it. Is like, that was fun. You know, I'll do a little compliment sandwich there. Mm-hmm. It feels so good when you and I get a chance to cuddle afterwards. I feel so much more connected to you and so excited about the next time when afterwards we get to cuddle together. And I would be even more excited and, feel even better if you got me a nice, like, warm towel, like wait for the water to get warm, which in our house takes friggin' forever. So I understand that is a task, but nobody wants cold water.
No, God, nobody wants cold water. Yeah, the thing that I like best about aftercare are the questions. The question of, like, what were you thinking about while we were having sex, like you're saying? Because usually I'm thinking about you, but I'm also fantasizing that we're in some different environment. And there's, like, fun little places that I go to.
That's fun.
Uh-huh. And I also want to know, like, what felt good? What did you want more of? What felt, like, awkward? What should we try next time that we didn't do this time or something? It's just, like, cute little questions to bond over.
And here's what happens. If you don't talk about these things, then what can happen? Like, food is always, I don't know, a good analogy for this, or works. And is kind of like if somebody made you a meal and, like, oh, they featured a side of spinach. And you were like, and then they kept making you spinach because they heard you say, and then, like, you're in too deep. And, like, what are you going to say after 5 years of them making spinach every night? Right. Oh, I hate spinach, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to grow resentful. And then all of a sudden it's going to come out like, stop making me fucking spinach. I hate that. Like, you know,
exactly.
You gotta, like, apply this to your sex life.
Here. Yeah, we got it.
You get the gist. Yeah. So talk about it early. Talk about what you like. Because you don't want to reject the spinach. You want to be like, you know what? I like even more baby carrots.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yes. Yes.
Get what you want.
Baby carrots.
I don't know.
It's an interesting food item that you chose.
It must be the penis talk that made me like... Right. You know, and in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, size doesn't matter at all either. So, you know, baby carrots popped into my head. Here we are. Yeah. This is terrible.
That's funny. Do we have time for one more question? What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah. Let's do one more.
Okay. Let's do the next one. How do you address STIs and have a quote unquote normal sex life with herpes? What the hell is normal, right?
What the heck is normal? Come on. Look at, I censored myself. We could say hell. What the hell is normal? I censored the wrong word. So I'm like, yeah, let's talk all about dicks and rope play, but I'm going to say heck. So silly.
Yeah. Herpes is the, you know, the stat of like 1 out of 4 people have like HSV is true. There's like the longer you're an adult having sex, regular sex life or like dating.
Being
like,
a human on this planet.
Exactly. You're bound to get some sort of STI, and HSV or herpes is like probably the one that you're going to. Well, it might be 25% chance, right? 1 out of 4 chance that you're going to get it. So there's a lot of other people that have herpes, and I don't want you to feel like ashamed or feel like there's something wrong with you. And even if you're like being like the most protected as you possibly can, using condoms or like being very diligent about like the people that you're sleeping with, there's still a chance that you're going to get something.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget once I was having a conversation with my grandma, who was like one of the smartest women ever, RIP. She died the morning of her 99th birthday, which is like super badass. Mm-hmm. And she was like progressive and just like with it and so smart. And I must have like just gotten an STD test or something. And I was talking to her about like being really nervous about like getting these test results back. And she was like, what are you nervous about? I'm like, well, what if I have an STD? She's like, then you got an STD. Who cares? Like, she's like, I'm in an old people's home. So many people here have STDs. And everybody's fine. And like, you get to a certain age where you're not like, oh my God, they're not going to be with me. It's like, who the fuck cares? Like, are they good at bridge? Would I like to keep talking to them for the next 50 years? Those are about the qualifications. It doesn't matter. Like, those things, 90-year-old you is not going to be like, oh my God, I'm so upset that I wasn't able to have sex with this person during this short period of time where they could transmit the virus to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, come on.
Yeah. And you know what's hot is like if you have an STI is knowing a lot about it, like talking to a doctor, doing your research about it, and then telling your partner like, hey, so I have this and here's the information you should know. Now think about it and let me know what you think. You know, just like making sure that you're giving somebody all the information so that they can make an informed decision. I feel safe if I know that you know everything about it. And now I can like consider all the options as well.
Informed so it's just consent. Exactly.
Informed consent. It's all about informed consent and decision making. That being said, there's still stigma out there. It fucking sucks. It's a bunch of bullshit. Try not to be I feel like sometimes like some people get STIs and they're just like, I'm going to ignore it.
That's not
the move. People.
That is not the move at all. It's so like information and knowledge is so powerful and empowering, and having that information and being able to talk about it in an adult way will make the right partner feel so safe and so good and like tell you everything you need to know about them when you do talk about this in a healthy and adult way. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a little litmus test now.
It is.
How's this person going to react? And if they react like a freaking asshole, yeah, come to the curb.
Oh, good. All right.
What a fun episode. Keep sending us your sex questions. Keep sending us all your questions. We have so many more to answer. Thank you guys so much for listening and for using our codes and our sponsors. We just love you guys so much. And we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.